and expert service from Cheryl, too. So if you are looking for unique settings and custom design, or you want to replace some missing stones and get that broken jewelry or watch repaired, Biondi is the place to go. Stop by the new location on Arapahoe and Parker Roads in New Corner Star Shopping Center in Aurora. Biondi Diamond Jewelers, 4112 South Parker Road in Aurora, or call 303-680-8725. Oh, one more thing. I've known Cheryl for over 20 years, and she's willing to offer to KHNC listeners a free watch battery, free cleaning, and a free jewelry inspection with the mention of this ad. You must ask for Cheryl. Call her now at 303-680-8725. 303-680-8725.
Staff and families of Brown's Appliance and Service Center takes this time out to recognize and salute the Brighton men and women in uniform, standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's always remember them in our thoughts and prayers. Their efforts abroad and our support has kept America strong. That's from your friends at Brown's Appliance and Service Center, where Alan Swain and his family and staff are always working to make our area a safer place to live. That's Brown's Appliance Service Center at 204 South Main Street in Brighton. Call 659-0410. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
And our guest this morning, Cheryl Hancock, who lives in Israel. She's a Christian. She talks to people about our Lord, has an opportunity to go into the Palestinian areas, although that is really a great danger. But Cheryl's totally dedicated to bringing people into a personal relationship with our Lord. Cheryl, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
No, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's good to talk with you again.
So why don't you bring us up to date on what's going on over in Israel, and I'd like your thought as somebody who actually lives in Israel, as an American journalist. What is the feeling over there about the possibility of a war with Iran, a preemptive strike to stop them from building nuclear weapons? But I'd like you to give us a view of what's really going on.
Wow, there's a lot going on. It's a loaded question. There's a lot going on with what the Lord's doing, for one thing. And then also politically, many things are happening right now with our new administration here in America. I'm here on a speaking tour. Normally I do 9 months in Israel and then I speak for 3 months outside. But I'm here speaking. And Israel is not too fond of what's happening with Obama's administration right now, because he's doing some things and pressuring Israel in ways that maybe he doesn't understand, or just he wants to give up the settlements right now, and it's a big issue in Israel, because if he does that, then a lot of people will be displaced, as they were after the Gaza displacement, and those people still don't have homes. As for Iran, Israel knows that they are capable of killing a lot of people, and Israel will be the first. And if somebody doesn't do something, it's going to start happening. But Israel won't be the last. And so the world is actually in danger from Iran. So are they going to let Israel to go in and do this? Or is the world going to step up, the UN, the EU, the America, and do something to stop Iran before it's too late?
Well, certainly it doesn't look like the United States is going to begin something. I really feel that perhaps they might use Israel as a surrogate to do what the United States would like to do. Do you think there's any possibility that Israel would actually do a preemptive strike on Iran as they did on Iraq 30 years ago?
Yeah, Israel is talking about this. They don't want to do this because they want the world behind them. If they do have to do it, they would rather have the world get involved and have everyone saying, being on the same page and telling Iran they need to stop and doing something about stopping them, not just having talks while Iran continues with the rhetoric, as he's saying. He's just like Hitler did. He wrote about what he wanted to do with the Jewish people. He did do what he said he would do. Now, what's to stop this Ahmadinejad in Iran from doing that? We're taking him seriously. And so Israel is going to be the first one to be hit. But like you said, they're not going to be the last. So Israel's, the best solution would be for the world to do something about this instead of using Israel to go in. And then what it looks like is that if Israel does go in, that there's going to be a lot of controversy and people are going to come against Israel. As we know in the Bible, it says that all nations will come against Israel in the last days. And a lot of nations are against Israel at this point. But will this be the key that will send all nations against Israel, though Israel is saving the world?
Well, Chris, we have to look at everything that's going on today through the prism of the Bible and prophecy. Most people don't do that. They simply look at it as unfolding events without understanding God's hand and what's going on. Well, what about the economy over in Israel? You know, is the economy good? You mentioned that the people who were forcibly expelled from Gaza, most of them had good homes, good businesses. They were very, very productive people. There were thousands of them. And they've been forced back into Israel, certainly taken out of homes, their homes at certainly bayonet point. And now they've been dispersed over Israel. They don't have jobs. They don't have homes. It's pretty hopeless for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really a shame that some of them have got homes. Some of them have makeshift homes. Some of them don't have homes. A lot of them can't get jobs. What they did in Gaza was miraculous. I mean, they were sending exports of fruits and vegetables, flowers, all across Europe. And that, of course, is finished. Now what are the people supposed to do? And there's thousands of them waiting for the government to do something with them. Yet, at the same time, the government in Israel is talking about getting more people displaced and out. I think they should take care of the people that are already displaced first. They are very disappointed. It's a hard time for Israel. The economy isn't as bad as it is in America. Israel's doing really good. From what I hear, they're doing really well. But still, we have the situation that needs to be handled, and it takes billions of dollars to handle it.
Right, and of course, what they're really doing is talking about removing the Jewish settlers from Judea and Samaria, where many of them have lived for many, many years. And
yeah,
they call them settlements, but Israel had always couldn't control Judea and Samaria until, of course, the Americans intervened, the Oslo Accord, the other agreements that turned this over to the Palestinians.
Talking about just small settlements either. Ariel is one of the biggest, and so is Maale Adumim, which is right outside of Jerusalem. This is a neighborhood where I will be living when I get back there. And there's 35,000 people in this settlement. It's 5 minutes from Jerusalem, 35,000 people. Municipality, it has gyms, it has schools, it has malls. It's a city. And to take those 35,000 people out and give that to the Palestinians is kind of a strange situation and thought. And when they developed it, the Jewish people developed this Maale Adumim, it was nothing. It's the desert. And they just made it flourish with plants and flowers and just you name it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful city. So Israel has some tough decisions to make. And Bibi Netanyahu is trying to stay away from the pressure that Obama's putting on him from America to close down these settlements and to get the people out of there.
Well, now what about this talk about turning Jerusalem over to the United Nations and having United Nations forces there that would determine certainly what was going on?
Well, I'm not sure what they're going to do with Jerusalem at this point. As you said, if they turn it over to the United Nations, that's not going to be a good thing. I know that the Vatican had talked about making the Temple Mount an international area where they can have a mosque, a temple, and a church, so all people can go worship there. Then divide Jerusalem so it can be the capital of the Palestinian people and the Jewish people.
Hold that thought, Cheryl. We'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest this morning, Cheryl Hancock, and of course, talking about Israel.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Cheryl Hancock. And Cheryl, of course, lives in Israel and keeps us abreast of what's going on over there. We have her as a regular guest whenever we can get her or when she's here in the United States. Well, Cheryl, what about the Lord's work? And I know, of course, that's your major thrust, is trying to bring the word of the Lord to the Israeli people, to the Palestinian people, and of course they have a tragic lot. There's certainly other things to be said on all sides of this, and I believe everybody is being exploited, and everybody over there is in danger, both Palestinians and Israelis. But what about reaching the people for the Lord?
Well, it's an interesting situation over there. You're right. Half of my ministry is to take the truth, the gospel truth, to the people of Israel as much as I can, and then the other half is to bring the truth about Israel to the West so that we're educated in the West. But the Lord is doing a mighty work over there among the people, and I'll start with the Palestinian people. A lot of them, of course, are born as Muslims, and they grow up with the teaching of Islam. And if you talk about to the people who have become Christians that were Muslim, they will tell you that the God Allah is not the God that we serve as Christians. It's a completely different religion. I baptized this one guy recently, and he was Islamic Jihad member. He was going to be a sheikh, so he had to get some degrees behind him. He has 2 master's degrees in Islamic studies. He told me, Cheryl, he said that Muhammad took a girl at 6 years old to engage, and at 8 years old, he took her for his wife. Well, he said that's a sick thing for a grown man to do to a little girl, first of all. But then he said he started studying more, and he found out that they converted people by beheading them, if they wouldn't convert, excuse me. That it was a very violent religion. He says, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Will you take me down to the Jordan River? And so we got a group of people. We took them down the Jordan. And when the Muslims become believers, they get in that water. They receive the Lord, and they go down as a Muslim. They come up as a Christian. I've been baptizing so many people lately. I have 3 of them waiting to be baptized when I get back. They are getting so sick of this religion and this violence. One of the men I baptized told me that on Fridays, what they pray in their mosque, you hear it in Jerusalem if you're a tourist over there, they are saying, Allah, help us to conquer our enemies, praying about Israel, so that we can take their women and divide them among us. So what kind of a religion is this, he said. He went down to Cairo, he got another degree in biblical studies, and now he said he wants to do all he can to help to expose Islam. So the Islamic people, the Palestinian people, are sick of that religion, and they are wanting to become Christians. They want a God of love, and they're finding him.
Well, that's encouraging to know. And certainly, the great tragedy is that I believe that the Muslim faith is a false faith, and it's a violent faith, and it's creating all sorts of problems. But of course, if you are a Muslim and you convert to Christianity, why, you do so at the risk of your life, don't you?
Exactly. They see Christianity so valuable, they'll hold on to it to lose their families, to lose their jobs, to lose their life. It is real, and they do not want to lose this valuable gift that they've been giving. It's given eternal life and a God of love. They hold on to it so tight, Dr. Stan. Incredible.
They're trapped. I mean, a lot of them would like to get out of Palestine to find some other place to go. And will other countries take the Palestinians?
Well, I had worked on my translator, as a matter of fact, Smiley, I call him. We worked for years to get him into another country because he was separated from his wife and children for 8 years. Well, 10 years, actually. He was put in prison when he became a believer. He evangelized his village, and the Palestinian Authority put him in prison, tortured him, and he got out of the prison when the IDF broke down the walls. He was my translator. We would go around talking to all the collaborators, all the people that were imprisoned by the PA, and those are the ones that are coming to the Lord. But in August, I got on an airplane with him and got him to another country. He is now there learning the language. His oldest son is with him, and the rest of the family is supposed to come this summer. So I miss my translator, but praise God that he and his family will be put back together. The problem is there is one in a million, you know, one in a thousand. I don't know. It's not easy to get these people out of Israel. He didn't have a passport. The Palestinian Authority would not give him a passport. They didn't want him to leave and expose what the Palestinian Authority and Islam is all about. But that's exactly what he's doing now that he's in his other country speaking and exposing these things.
And, of course, the tragedy is that American tax dollars are being used to prop up the Palestinian Liberation Organization that's committing all sorts of atrocities against its own people. And not only that, but we're even indirectly helping Hamas. And, in fact, Hamas was a product of the CIA, the idea of creating a counter to the PLO. So we finance the Islamic radical jihadist movement. Why would we do such stupid things? Why are we spending so much money financing the Palestinian government at the same time we're financing the Israeli government? It's almost as if we want all of the strife over there.
I was in Washington, D.C. recently talking to congressmen and senators, and I brought up some of this information that I know from the ground. I was in Jericho, and as I was standing there in the evening, I saw Force 17 run by. These are Palestinian Fatah, an elite group that the Americans are training. There's a base there. American soldiers are training them. We, the taxpayers here in America, are spending the money to buy them weapons and get them trained so they can fight against Hamas and get things under control in the West Bank, because America wants to make them the peace partner with Israel. You have two evils, the Fatah and the Hamas, and right now the better of the two evils is Fatah, even though they are the ones that are killing the Christians, the ones that become believers, and they're the ones that are, they're hanging people in the square still. They are very corrupt. They're keeping the money that we send to themselves, and they're using it to fight against Israel, and we're supplying that money to help them fight against Israel, who they say is the occupiers of their land. They will never take them as a peace partner. They'll say it in word, but they will never want them to have the land, is what they're saying in the news. And so why are we doing this? And the congressman and the senator said, we don't know, but we want more information.
Well, the big thing, and I'm so glad you're bringing this out, because from the point of view of the average American, we never talk about it. It doesn't make sense. And I always like to say, if it doesn't make sense, then there has to be another explanation. Well, certainly, as far as the situation over there, is it safe to go walk around Jerusalem today? The tourists safe when they go over there?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, everyone wants the tourists there. Tourism is one of the highest. It's the way they make money over there. So if a tourist comes, a tourist bus comes, everyone's happy. The Palestinians are happy. The Jews are happy. And they want the tourists to come and enjoy themselves, experience Israel. And the Jewish people want them to take the information back home and explain to people what the situation is. But the tourist is safe because everyone will keep that tourist safe. They want the tourist money. And also the travel agent that's on the bus with them, the tour guide, knows exactly where the problems are. The bus driver is usually an Arab bus driver. They work together. They know where the problems are. They will not take tourists into very dangerous areas because they want them to come back and encourage other people to come. So, yes, they want people to come. We want people to come as tourists. And all of Israel is not burning in flames and fire and fighting against each other. It's just certain areas, locations, and they keep you away from that. They keep you safe.
Well, now, what about the missiles that were coming in from Gaza, from Hamas? Certainly Israel went into that area, into Gaza, occupied by Hamas, because they were under constant barrage of missiles. They've been very severely criticized for going in, but didn't the fact that Israel go in actually cut back dramatically on the incidence of missile attacks on southern Israel?
Yeah, I went into Gaza, well, not into Gaza. I went to Gaza, to Sderot, right between is the border, and you could see the bombing into Gaza. I interviewed the IDF spokesperson, who is now, by the way, the U.S. ambassador to, or the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Michael Oren, and I talked to them, and to find out what's going on, I talked to the townspeople in Sderot. Yes, Israel had to go in, and they had to create havoc. They had to stop what was going on. But unfortunately, the Gazans, the people under Hamas, were using the local people as shields, the women and children, and a lot of the women didn't mind because they want to be martyrs. And it's okay to have a martyr in your family. So they would allow these Hamas soldiers to use them, and of course a lot of civilians got hurt. But look at the previous 8 years. As I went in Sderot, which is a small Jewish city, I went and talked to the people, and there were shrapnel holes all over the place. People were killed. Many, many people were killed. I talked to school teachers. They said, my children, when the siren goes off, 16, 17-year-olds will stand up and wet their pants. They can't do anything. They're in shock. Some of them can't move. Some of them run around screaming. And a lot of them sleep by the washing machine or the safest place in the house they can find. Can you imagine that going on in your hometown for 8 years and no one doing anything about it? Over half the town, I went and talked to the psychiatrist over there. She said over half the town has visited her. These people are ruined for life because of the 8 years that no one had did anything. And the bombs are still coming in, Dr. Stan. The Katyushas are still coming in. People don't understand that. Yes, Israel had to go in, but they didn't finish the job completely. They had too much pressure on them from the outside world. And so now it's still continuing. The sirens are still going off. It's a horrible situation to live in.
In other words, the missile attacks have not been then dramatically cut back.
They have been dramatically cut back, but that's it. They haven't been cut back the whole way. Israel did a good job in stopping some of it. But they're beefing up again. As you said, there are vessels going into Gaza and under the tunnels going from Egypt. Weapons are going in. They are arming again, just like Hezbollah in the north. They're rearming. They're getting ready for the next battle. These people's goal is to wipe out Israel. And they keep doing it, and it's just an ongoing battle. Israel's going to have to do something with the situation in Gaza still.
Well, I think for our listeners out there, they have to understand that Hamas could not get their missiles, except that they're coming in from Egypt.
Yes.
The United States is subsidizing Egypt. All we would have to do would be to say one time, you either stop allowing those missiles to go from Egypt into Gaza, through the Sinai Desert there, or we're going to cut off our funds to you. We don't do that because we really don't want to solve the problem over there, but we want to give the impression we're trying to solve the problem. Well, we could solve it tomorrow just saying, you stop those missiles going in to Hamas, or because they've got to go through Egypt. There's no way you could move missiles through Egypt without the knowledge of the Egyptian intelligence and the Egyptian military. We could tell them to stop it. It would stop. We don't want it to stop because, of course, we want the conflict to continue. And this is what the average American taxpayer doesn't understand. We're giving money to Egypt so that they can maintain a military regime, so they can allow the missiles to go in, so we can continue the turmoil over there. Certainly, would you agree or disagree with that concept?
No, that's absolutely the truth. That is what's going on. Egypt is turning their face as these missiles are going in, as the weapons are going in. And they're actually helping in some cases.
So the average individual doesn't understand the tragic situation that's going on over there, because a lot of it doesn't make sense unless you understand the machinations going on, about the upper echelons of our society. Well, You know, as far as the life over there is concerned, how long have you been there, Cheryl?
A little over 10 years now.
And it's been taking an awful lot of your life to be there. What about the Jewish people? Are they open at all to the gospel?
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, and they're so close to my heart, these people. It's amazing. There's a lot of persecution going on right now against the Messianic Jews. Those are the Jewish people that have come to faith, have come to believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The reason they're being attacked by the ultra-Orthodox Jews is because they feel like once they turn to Christians, they're no longer Jews. And so there's a lot of attacks going on. But even as we speak, more and more people are coming into the kingdom of God. And there's over 15,000 Messianic Jews now in Israel, whereas in 77, there was 40. So things have changed dramatically in the past few years, but persecution is on the rise over there. The ones that I talk to, the ultra-Orthodox, they have invited me to their homes. I have great relationships with not only ultra-Orthodox, but with secular Jews, Holocaust survivors. I know that 1,500 Holocaust survivors got saved not too long ago. But, you know, you don't hear about it too open because they have to keep it very quiet. They have to take care of themselves, be careful because they'll lose their families. Their families will disinherit them. And so you have a lot of Jewish people right now reading the New Testament, wanting to understand about this God of love and how to have a personal relationship with them and how it differs from their Bible, which it doesn't. And it's going great. It's going great with the Jewish people over there.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment or two. We'll welcome your calls here at 787-7254-7524.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door to Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less. A&H Heating and Air Conditioning says, let's keep our kids away from drugs this summer. Get to know their friends, set stricter curfews, and do things together as a family. Get involved, because drug abuse is no joking matter. This message is from A&H Heating and Air Conditioning, where service is more than a word. It's a fact backed by the right know-how and experience proven by customers who wouldn't trust their work to anyone else but A&H Heating, formerly known as Valley Heating and Air Conditioning. That's A&H Heating and Air Conditioning at 165 Long Peak Street in Brighton. Call 659-1087. That's 659-1087.
Ferris Survival is your one-stop shop for all your family preparedness needs. Ferris Survival carries high-quality, long-term, storable food from Mountain House with a 25-year shelf life. Come by and pick up some high-quality, organic bulk grains like wheat, quinoa, corn, and barley. Filter your drinking water through the world-famous British Birkfeld water filtration system and reduce or remove bacteria, chlorine, parasites, sediment, and rust for the best-tasting water for pennies a day. Pick up a 3-day kit from Survivor Industries for the car. Ferris Survival also carries a huge selection of hard-to-find books from Paladin Press and Desert Publications. Ferris Survival is located at 3366 South Broadway, 3 blocks north of Hamden in Inglewood. Call Ferris Survival at 1-866-781-0343 or on the web, www.fserve.com. Prepare your family. Visit Ferris Survival today.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom
good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Cheryl Hancock. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Cheryl. Our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. And Cheryl, before we go on, I'd like you to let our listeners know how they could get in touch with your ministry and what you're doing.
Well, I think at this point the best way to get in touch with me would just be to use email, and that is grateful, G-R-A-T-E-F-U-L, dot Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, at gmail.com. We are revamping the website, so this is the best way at this point to get in touch with me. And I do send out a report by email every 10 days. I do radio programs to Toronto, Canada, weekly from Israel. So I can give you all that information also.
All right, fine. If like people would like to donate to help support your ministry, how would they do that?
Well, they can email me for the information because it would be an address in America, and I have an account for Israel. And they would be sending that to the account, the ministry account, to help. But by email would be the best way to get in contact with me to give that address.
All right, fine. And Grace says Cheryl's really on the front line. She's been there for 10 years in Israel spreading the word of the Lord. And says, this is one of the ministries that my wife and I support. We think it's well worthwhile, and we hope that you will as well. Again, the number, if you'd like to call in, 877-254-7524. Give us a call, and we'll like to hear what your thoughts are as far as what's going on, certainly over in the Holy Land, and certainly it's a wonderful place, but it's a very tragic place. Now, of course, here in the United States, we always hear talk about rebuilding the temple. Is there any background for that, do you think? Is there any way they could build a temple on Temple Mount for the Osque of Omar there? What are the plans? Are there any plans, or are people waiting for God's intervention?
Well, actually, there are plans to build a temple on the Temple Mount. The Temple Institute is involved with that. They have made most of the implements, and they are now working. This is new. They're now working on the altar. They have everything else already in place. They have priests. They're actually training the priests to do sacrifices in this temple. And they have all the gold implements, all in specifications according to the Bible. You can go to Jerusalem to the Temple Institute and see these things firsthand. They will explain to you what they're doing. They have the cornerstone of the temple, and every year they try to get the cornerstone on to the Temple Mount. And they're thinking one of these days it will be going up there. Now, with the Vatican involved, and wanting to make this an international area, the Temple Mount, it's very possible that this temple could be built within our lifetime, at least started. They do want to make it to where all people can go up there and worship. Now, Christians can go up there. There are certain hours. You can't go up there during Muslim prayer hours. Muslims have control of the Temple Mount, though it actually belongs to the Jewish people. And Jewish people are starting to go up there now, and they have to be careful where they go. To first of all stay kosher, and second of all to not get attacked. So yes, we may be able to see a temple being built, and they are getting prepared for it.
And of course, this truly is prophetic. It's you wonder how God is going to work this whole thing out. One of the great tragedies was that after the 67 war, Moshe Dayan, instead of course taking control of the Temple Mount, gave it to the Arabs. Why would he have done that? Why, of course, there's so many unanswered questions out there, almost as if there's been an invisible hand behind the situation trying to preserve conflict and animosity there. That would have been the ideal time to have taken control of the Temple Mount. They could have rebuilt the temple at that time. But instead, they gave control of Temple Mount. They still have their Muslim prayers there and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, a few years ago, there was a lot of concern that the Arabs were digging down under the Temple Mount and really destroying the very stability of the wall there. I guess it was the southern wall. And and the Temple Mount itself. What about all the debris that they'd actually carted out from underneath the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and even perhaps even from the Mosque of Omar? And they were even talking about having to reconstruct some of the walls there. Well, what's happened as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, they did have to reconstruct some of the walls because they had heavy equipment on top of the Temple Mount, and the walls were bulging. During Ramadan, you have 20,000 people on top of that Temple Mount praying, and that's a lot of weight. And then also underneath, they hollowed it out. It was Solomon's Stables. They hollowed that out and made a huge mosque that holds over 20,000 people. So they took that dirt that they used. They did this in the night because they didn't want the Antiquities Authority to come there and look at the dirt because it would have been an excavation, and they didn't want to slow things down. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. So they took the dirt, they did this at night, and they piled it in the Kidron Valley. And I'm talking artifacts from the second and third temple periods. And people would take them to their house. A lot of it was stolen. But one young archaeologist noticed what was going on, took it to court, and after a few months, he got permission to take that dirt from the Kidron and take it to a place where we sift the dirt from the Temple Mount. And I love archaeology, so I happened to get involved. And one day, as I was sifting, I found a Babylonian arrowhead. And this dates back when the Babylonians came into Jerusalem and they took the Jews into captivity. You can read about that in your Bibles. But as they did this, when they took them into captivity, that's when the dispersion started. But what happened was the Jews are trying to prove that the Bible is a historic book. And that's true. And when I found that Babylonian arrowhead, it was the fourth biggest find from the Temple Mount. They said, this helps us to prove this portion in the Bible. And now the arrowhead is now in the magazines and in the museum. But anyone that goes to Israel as a tourist can go up there and do this. And so it's amazing to help the Jewish people to find their roots, to prove that the Bible is the truth. And this may help them when it comes down to splitting Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, in half, is what the Palestinians are wanting them to do. So the Palestinians are actually, Dr. Stan, saying that the Jews have no right or claim to Jerusalem, that it's all fable, that Bible of ours. But we're proving it otherwise.
Well, now, what about the water situation? We understand that the Sea of Galilee is drying up, that the Dead Sea is drying up. There's talk about building a system of taking water from the Dead Sea and running it into the Dead Sea, that there's all sorts of water shortages in Israel. What's going on from that point of view?
Yeah, water has been really scarce in Israel, and so water is very valuable, of course, to life. And the Dead Sea, I just read an article this morning, the Dead Sea went down another 9 meters this month, which is not good.
Nine
meters. Yeah, and the Sea of Galilee is going down incredibly quick. The rains help a little bit, but it never brings it back up to the level it was. Now, the interesting thing is that the water source, the Jordan River, comes from the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. A lot of the water comes from the Jordan River, but there's three rivers that are on the Golan that makes up the Jordan. And as these rivers run down, it makes up the Jordan goes in the Sea of Galilee, and then the Sea of Galilee has an outlet that goes all the way to the Dead Sea. Well, if by chance Syria was given the Golan Heights, then they could cut off Israel's water source and Israel could die.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network. Give us a call, 877-254-7524.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Take a drive down a back road somewhere, and what do you see? Farms. It's impossible to miss them. They're everywhere. East Ridge Transportation LLC in Gill reminds us that those miles of golden pastures are what brought America to its feet. The American farmer and rancher, a dependable resource. This message was brought to you by East Ridge Transportation LLC. They want you to know that they're involved in keeping our area a great place to be. East Ridge Transportation LLC, located in Gill, 330-6624. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Cheryl Hancock. Our telephone number is 877-254-7524. If you have a question, comment, you agree, you disagree, you'd like to know more about what's going on over Israel, why, give us a call. And Cheryl certainly has been on the front lines of this battle for 10 years. And certainly the Dead Sea is drying up. The Sea of Galilee is going down and drying up. It's just amazing, apparently, that, we've been to Israel, I think, six times, and I find it difficult to believe that these things could be happening. What about this moat or a channel that they're talking about digging from the Red Sea and running water into the Sea of into the Dead Sea? Do you think that'll come about?
Well, they have been talking about different ways to bring water to Israel. So it's possible, if they can negotiate a deal, that they could do this. They have a great desalination plant also in Israel. They're first in the world as far as desalinizing water. So they're trying that also. So they have a few things that are experimental that they're trying and some negotiations that they're doing. They need to do something quick. They need to think about the future. But they also need to think about what to do with the Golan Heights, because if they do give that away, as I mentioned before, that's a huge water source. If you go up to the north as a tourist, you go up there and you can walk around. There's rivers. I mean, just rushing rivers where you can get in a boat and rapids, you know, taking you down. It's absolutely gorgeous up there. There's a lot of water up there, but again, that could be cut off.
Sure. You're talking now about the area around Dan or what?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, fine. And so basically, because some of the water comes down from Mount Hermon, and as I said, there is a mountainous area that supplies the Jordan. But of course, there's all sorts of questions about that. And then a lot of the water has been given to Jordan. And water is very much of an essential necessity in that region. How about relationships between Israel and Jordan? Are things pretty solid as far as that situation is concerned?
Well, I haven't heard too much about that. I know that they've been doing fine so far. They're trying to negotiate about the Dead Sea. They do work together on some projects. Like if you drive through the Jordan Valley Road, you can see that the Jordanians are working the fields down below. Israel lets them do that. So it's supposedly a friendly neighbor, but actually it's just getting more and more unfriendly as time goes on. So the Arab nations are pretty much sticking together. Anyone that stands out differently and says good things about Israel, and that they really would accept them, and then they are the sore thumb in the Arab world. And so there's a lot of problems going on right now, and we're afraid that the relationship will be broken even more in the near future.
Well, now what about we hear about people going over there exploring for oil and natural gas, and we're being told, oh, of course, all of these developers, people who are developing the oil and natural gas, keep wanting us to invest in that exploration. But is there any has there been any evidence of any oil and natural gas there in that area?
Well, I saw a news article on a very good source in Israel, and they said they did find something off the shores in the Mediterranean. And they're still digging near the Dead Sea. They're hoping someday they do find something. But, no, nothing is solid that I know of at this point.
Okay, fine, because this has been my impression as well. So I did hear about the offshore natural gas that they found, you know, and that could be a boon both for the Palestinians and for the Israelis, because, of course, these are essential for the maintenance of the industrial capacity of Israel. Of course, Israel is such a small nation. One or two atom bombs would just wipe Israel right off the face of the earth. They could hit there. They have a nuclear power plant. They hit that, a couple of other sources, why they destroy the industrial capacity of Israel. Are the Israeli people optimistic? Are they frightened overall, in your impression? Do you think the fact that they live under constant danger makes them perhaps more open to the gospel?
Yeah, there's different situations going on in different areas of Israel. The people that are under the attacks and they're losing hope, yes, they're reaching up and they're wanting to talk. Most people there believe in God. There's not too many seculars. There's a few secular people, I should say, in Israel. But a lot of people want to converse. And they want to talk. They want to communicate. They want to know your view on God. And because of the situation, yes, it's more open to talk. Now that they know we're getting towards the last days, and now I'm talking about ultra-Orthodox Jews, they're very strict in their beliefs and very strict in the laws. They're wanting to talk about the end days. We're on the same page as a lot of the ultra-Orthodox. And, you know, I'm talking about people that are rabbis. I have friends that are rabbis. I talk with them, and they tell me the same thing as I believe, as it says in the Bible, because we have the same Bible, the Old Testament, is exactly what they believe. And they are telling me now, they said, Cyril, we need to be a light to the nations as we were called to be. And, of course, God called the Jewish people to be a light to the nations. It's a natural crossroad from the different continents. You know, from Africa, you have to go up north, and Asia, you have to go east, and Europe had to go or west, and then east. And, well, anyways, it's a crossroad, and God planted them in the right place where they could tell everyone about the Lord, and they intermarried, and then things got messed up. But they're saying now they need to come back, and they need to be a light to the nations. So they are looking in different directions now, and they're trying to reach up, wanting to understand more about the Lord. And one man that I did talk to, a rabbi, it was funny, we were sitting having prayer after a meal, and he just stopped in the middle of his prayer. He said, oh, Hashem, that's what they call God, Hashem, he loves all of us. Cheryl, you're a Christian, and he loves you. He loves all of us. And he could not stop crying. It was like he finally realized that we could have a personal relationship with this God. And so now he started a new sect, and all these people are flocking to his synagogue. So there has been a lot of changes going on in the Jewish people.
Chris, are the Orthodox Jews, are they the Hasidic Jews? How does that work? What's the difference between Hasidic and Orthodox?
Yeah, well, we call them the Haredim. The Haredim is the very religious ones. Some are Chabadniks. It depends on which rabbis they follow. And I'm talking about the ones with the black coats, with the sideburns, and, you know, the payut is what we call in Israel. And they're just very religious. Now, they do all these laws. As a matter of fact, I walk into my friend's kitchen during Pesach, during Passover, and she had foil all over her kitchen. I thought I was on Mars or something. I walked in, I said, my goodness, what are you doing with all this foil in your kitchen? She said, well, I cleaned my kitchen so well to get all the crumbs out, but I don't know if I missed one. So this is how they live. They had to make sure that not one crumb was touched, according to the Bible. They were
We'll be back. Thanks so much, Cheryl. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, Phil here with WolfAutoGroup.com, saying thanks for trading with us. We're excited to take your dust collecting or unused assets or valuables as down payments on the finest used trucks and cars in brand-new Dodges, Chryslers, Ford, Suzuki's, Jeeps of your choice. I will trade for anything, even your skill or labor. Try me on. Great financing available on the balance. That's WolfAutoGroup.com. Many locations for your convenience. Call Phil personally at 303-931-9096. It's 303-931-9096.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry. It is a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs. But we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Aid Your Wagon reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message was sponsored by Paint Your Wagon, totally dedicated to the care and enrichment of our area seniors. For more information regarding programs and admissions, call 823-5390. That's 823-5390. That's Paint Your Wagon in Lyons, where they're always working for our seniors.
Well, I'm standing back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess, this morning is Ben Cheryl Hancock. I hope you enjoyed our program with her, and Cheryl's just given her life to trying to bring the word of the Lord to our Jewish brethren over there in Israel, and we certainly support her ourselves and hope that many of you would want to do that. Now, I want to let you know something big is afoot. Certainly gold was up $20 on Friday, up another $10 today, up to $9.16. Silver was up 50 cents, 46 cents this morning, first thing. Something big is afoot. A large Chinese delegation, I've heard up to 200 people came, perhaps it was just 20, but anyway, a large number of Chinese came to talk to our leaders here last week about the way we're handling our finances, the way we're destroying the value of our currency, and the Chinese, of course, we're totally dependent upon them. We've got to actually raise another $1 trillion before the 30th of September, and we're talking, and we've got less than 2 months to raise $1 trillion. Where are we going to get it? Are we simply going to print the money and lay ourselves open to what happened in Zimbabwe and in the Weimar Republic? America's in real trouble. What's the price of gold and silver this next week? It's the canary in the mine shaft. Well, you have to understand, of course, this whole financial crisis has been created. It's been created by the banks not lending money intentionally and purposely, not lending money. The big banks aren't lending because they want to collapse our economy. The small banks aren't lending because we're actually paying them not to lend money. If you haven't seen that wonderful YouTube with Dennis Kucinich talking to a fellow from the Federal Reserve Board saying, it looks like you're paying banks not to lend money. I thought you were trying to get them to lend money. Is it true that you're paying them not to lend money? And the fellow from the Federal Reserve said, yes, sir, that is correct. And Kucinich says, why? And he said, well, some federal bureaucracies are telling banks to lend money, and others are telling them not to lend money. And he sort of tries to pass it off that way. You must understand, everything is planned and organized and aimed at the destruction of this country, our currency, and transferring our wealth to other nations. That's what the Earth Charter calls for. That's what they're doing. And, of course, remember David Rockefeller's nephew, Stephen Rockefeller, wrote the Earth Charter. They just can't let the American people understand that the people who really run this country want to destroy the nation. You need to get our new DVD, well, as of last October, by Pat Wood, the Trilateral Commission, because they're the major coordinating organization. Then, of course, you need to get my talk on the financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that. That's the financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that. You need, of course, to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, on the Forbidden Secret. They're on DVDs. And, of course, there's a book with the Brotherhood of Darkness. There's a syllabus with the Forbidden Secret. You need to understand that there have been secret societies for thousands of years that have always been working to bring about enlightened democracies throughout the world and unite the world in preparation for the coming of the man of sin. And this is what's behind what's going on today. If you'd like to get the biblical perspective, you'll certainly want to get the DVDs, The Final Countdown by Pastor Bill.